Episode 293, April 10th, 2017.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Now on with the countdown.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
I think it's pretty obvious, Joe Robinson, that I am better friends with the J.L. Covan than you are. I saw him at the DC Improv. I've now seen him, I want to say, the last three times he was there and the last two or three times at Magoobies. And I think you're like 2 for 5 or 2 for 6 then.
Yeah, I think I've seen him twice at Magoobies. I'm pretty sure that I did. I did see him at the Improv. Wasn't he in another room or something? We saw him when we were there, but didn't see his act. Did you watch his act?
Yeah, of course I did. He says it was very funny. He says hello, and he says it's obvious that you've picked Patrick Melton in the friendship game here, and then I've picked JL and you've picked Patrick, and I think that's probably fair.
If I'm being honest, JL's more of a you guy and Patrick's more of a me guy. Would you agree with that? Now, I like JL, but I'm just saying, if you look at the people, I guess, that I am drawn to,
right.
Patrick Melton is more my kind of guy, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's fair. Interesting thing about how comedy is weird. I saw JL do a new bit, and you know, we all know how new bits go. They're hit or miss. They rarely crush. It's, you know, you're not going to come out just guns blazing and it's going to crush. But he did this joke 3 different times. Twice I watched and one he told me about. In 3 different rooms, all in D.C. The two I saw, the lounge, which seats 55 people, which is obviously a different vibe because it's just smaller and more intimate. But it's the same kind of, it's a D.C. person. And then in the main room, which is 275 people, a little different vibe. And then he did this like open mic, very progressive hipster kind of place in DC. And the joke is essentially about making fun of this idea that sexuality is fluid and talking about how his girlfriend's hot and she has a lot of gay friends and they'll like, you know, fondle her breasts because they're gay and they can get away with that. And he's fine with that. But what if like their sexuality is fluid and that's their straight frat boy guy coming out? And then he gets mad and punches them. Do they go back to being gay? Is that now a hate crime? So that's sort of the joke.
Right.
And it crushed in the lounge. According to him, ate it in the progressive room and did okay in the main showroom. So these are all people in the same area, the same 3-block radius. And it has 3 different complete responses. And that's why comedy's fucking hard.
Yeah, it's hard as shit. And so what's he going to do? Wait till he finds the right dynamic? Right. That's why people like Joe Robinson and I'll use Chip Franklin as an example too, because one time I didn't see him for 7 years and he did the exact same 45, but because jokes are hard. It's hard to get jokes to work consistently. And when you have them, you're like, okay, I got them. You don't want to start putting new things in there that don't work as well. You think I want to hear the fucking pie plate closer again? I don't. I never want to hear it again. But I know it's going to do well, so I tell it, so I don't have to try to make some new joke work. By the way, who am I talking about? I stopped doing stand-up in March.
Yeah. Do you have any new bits, new premises? Nothing?
Every once in a while, right? I have them in my phone, but I mean, I haven't written a new joke. What would I do? What would I tell you?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because I have all these new premises now. I've sort of been, they haven't really come to fruition in terms of being actual good bits, but I don't know. I have this wave of things. Like, I'm sort of like, you know, obviously I talk about, you know, my girlfriend, but I'm tempted to just kind of lie just to make the jokes interesting. The concept of this particular premise is that when I have it's easier to have makeup sex when it's a white girl and I'm white, because our arguments are about nothing. You know, we're arguing over who you pick on The Voice, you know, Adam or Blake. You know, it's a bullshit argument. But with like a black girl, there's actual racial tension in the world. So we can have like a real argument, but it's hard to go from like talking about, you know, a cop shooting some black guy to then fucking. So it's harder. But the reality is that me and Tawana don't actually have those arguments, but I want to act like we do just to make that sort of make that time.
Do you think that that really happened to me with the pie plates? No, I mean, they're jokes. You have to sometimes exaggerate them, or they're rooted in some kind of reality. I mean, people are going to be able to relate to that. But what I want to know is, instead of keeping those, why don't you just bring them on the Rob and Joe show? Because I'm going to have an opinion about that, which I do.
You want to do, didn't we do this before? Didn't we do this recently? Where I said a new joke on the air?
Well, no, but instead of that, just that idea. You just bring that. You have funny comments to make. I mean, not that we're scripting anything, but, you know, you can always do that.
Have a conversation.
We could certainly tell a joke about them later. What do you think people are going to go, hey, I heard that on your podcast, you hack? No. I mean, if they've seen me, they've heard the same jokes a million times.
They are not going to say that. Speaking of our podcast and doing it and them people seeing us tell jokes, when I was on the Tony Perkins show, we had talked about, they had asked, you know, when they're going to open for me, and I sort of jokingly told them never. But then we came up with the idea of having a joint one-night, two-show live podcast thing. They're doing the thing at the Improv, the Lounge, which is on April 29th, and you can do two shows. You can do a 7:30 and a 9:45. They're just doing one. But why don't we do a combo? So they do the early and we do the late, or vice versa.
Whatever equipment
they're using, you know, we'll just piggyback it and use that.
Is there a double gate? Meaning, do people have to buy tickets to their show and then tickets to our show?
I believe so. I think it's $20, although I do think you can set your price. It only seats 55 people. But my concern, look, they're going to sell out. But what if no one shows up for ours? And if someone shows up to both, are people going to pay both prices? Or are they going to want like a deal?
People aren't going to sit through two podcasts, are they? I mean, that's a lot to ask. Now, there are a handful of P1s who will do that. But if we're going to do it the same day, I think it would be harder.
Well, but the idea is that they, whatever equipment they're using to record everything, that's what we need, Joe. So we need to have that.
Oh, I see what you're saying. We're still using the same shit we had when we first started this. I gotcha.
I mean, I think it makes it easier to cross promote and to promote it in general. But if we did do a live show, and we've talked about this before, we did it that one time with It's Mickey, and that led to huge things. since we did that podcast, that It's Mickey's done, and I think that bar is done too.
Are you saying that it's bad for us to do a live podcast over Skype? You're saying that's a bad thing? We would need their equipment?
No, I think I want to do a live show. But what are we going to have? Are we going to have Scott Apple, you know, there and listen
to
that tune? Are we going to do that?
Yes. If we really had a live show, yes. Scott Apple, Mike Chamberlain, Antoine Dotson, that chick that Robbie was in love with. What's her
name? Tom Arnold.
Veronica Belmont. Right. Yes. Tom Arnold. Dan
Guy
Ninen.
Isle of Man. Yeah.
Chris Restivo. I do think, Eric Woodworth, I do think that people would clamor most if we were doing a live show would be for Scott Apple.
I agree. They want to have the Scott Apple music quiz part three. They want to be there for that. We'll play songs. Everyone will know. Everyone in there will know in 3 seconds. And he'll say that song by Earth, Wind, and Fire is by Journey.
So, I just lost my train of thought. Oh, I know Max Ferguson.
Karaoke contest.
Yeah, that's good between Katie and Robbie. And
Woodworth.
I know Mac Bergson would say Mike Chamberlain, but I do think that's not the most people's opinion. I think Mike Chamberlain would be down the list.
Well, in terms of most desired guests
to see live, although Mike could do a magic show too. That's another thing.
I think Mike opens with some magic. I think that's the winner right there.
You're right.
Mike Magic, Scott Apple guesses songs.
No. Scott Apple brings up Mike Chamberlain. He MCs it. He gets up there and he brings him up as awkwardly as he can. Off to a good start.
Well, Magic doesn't translate well on the radio. And also, Gramp says that Mac would ask for him first.
Well, no.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, Gramps would definitely have to be there. But the other thing is, we could literally just describe, well, Mike Chamberlain is now picking this guy's car, the Four of Diamonds, okay? And he is now, there's a rabbit coming out of a hat, and up his sleeve is a scarf. Then we just do a little play-by-play on
He's opening the show. He's not on the podcast, but it's a live show. There's people there we have to entertain.
I want them to hear it.
Tony Perkins, my stand-up doesn't make the podcast. I'm just opening the show.
Well, that would make a hell of a lot more sense than having Mike Chamberlain out there doing. By the way, he talks. Doesn't he have some sort of vaudevillian shtick, Robbie? That'd be hilarious to hear.
He has patter.
Oh, God, I'd love to hear that. I'll bet it's fucking atrocious.
All right. Well, do you want to move on this? Do you want to get serious? Make this happen?
When are we talking?
Well, they're doing one coming up in April, so I don't know how soon they want to come back and do it, but.
Right. We're planning right now to do the next one with them.
Okay, whenever that is, we'll do the next one with them.
But I'm drawing a hard line at recording Mike Chamberlain's magic and putting it on the air.
Well, we can record it and then see how it goes. Will Marcus come down for that?
Do you want me to come down for that?
Yeah, of course we do.
Yes.
Then I will come down for that.
I
know Scott Brookson will come down.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Maybe Mac Bergson. This is a pretty big event.
Yeah.
All our P1s. Amy Michelle Berger.
Yes.
Merle Rogers.
Yep.
The Rooters.
Yes. What will Gramps do other than being interviewed?
He plays the banjo.
Is he in the karaoke contest as well?
Yes.
Well, no. I think Gramps should be, because we can't. What are we going to do? Have 4 songs sung now? It's Robbie, Katie, and Eric Woodworth. That would be the karaoke contest. And what Gramps do is play some harmonica or some banjo.
Why not Gramps tell one of his stories in the first person? He'll be right there. He can tell it himself.
You're right. God, Marcus, you nailed it. Yes.
No. What we do is we have speed dating with Gramps. We have the audience come up, and he just works his magic.
Good idea.
Robbie, are you willing to sing your karaoke song, or are you still holding fast?
Well, I might pick a new one.
Oh, you have more than one song you can do?
Of course. Wait, I have many, many
Robbie,
songs.
Robbie, you know the audience wants the bad touch. You know they want it.
Well, I can give them a choice.
Okay. I think this sounds like a great show. I'm excited.
Scott Apple, Mike Chamberlain, Gramps speed dating, Robbie karaoke. Yes, it is. Okay, done. We're doing it.
All right. I say, you mentioned Restivo. I say no Restivo because, you know, he's going to call someone the C word. We can't have that, you know.
What if he buys a ticket? You can't, you know what I mean? You can't keep him out of there.
He's going to get to D.C.?
Not getting to D.C., Joe.
You're right.
He has to get
a ride and money.
Marcus would have
ticket to
pick him up and bring him there, and that's not happening.
No.
All right. We'll look for that on the calendar. Hey, congratulations to Sergio Garcia, your 2017 Masters victory.
Yeah, that one hurt a little bit. I mean, what would you do? I mean, I found myself, and if you go back, I guess, several episodes, there's a there may or may not have been a very brief one-night relationship between Sergio Garcia and my current girlfriend. That may or may not have happened, but I do find myself rooting against this guy. I don't want him to win. I want him to fail. But now he's at the top of his game. He just won the biggest tournament of his career. How old is he, 37 years old?
Probably late 30s, yeah.
But here, let me tell something that the audience, only a handful of people know this. So we mentioned last week, former show announcer Tim is, we refer to him as the cooler. And that means if he roots for your team or you, or he makes a bet, you are going to lose. You're going to lose that. I don't think I've ever lost a sports bet to Tim, no joke. And he's made, I don't know, dozens with me.
But his instincts are horrible.
On Thursday, who do you think, and we won't get too deep into this, but Marcus, did you watch the Masters?
I watched parts of it, and I didn't stick with it.
Okay, well, anyway, there was a playoff between two players. One's name is Justin Rose, and the other one is Sergio Garcia, as we mentioned. Well, on Thursday, before the tournament began, the cooler picked who to win the tournament?
Justin Rose.
He picks him. Now, we were saying all week, this guy doesn't realize he can't win. He doesn't understand that Tim has already cooled him. He can't win the... And I was half joking, but I knew if Tim had picked somebody, then that is the kiss of death. And sure enough, this poor guy got all the way up to the very end, and he loses in a playoff to Sergio Garcia. But I was torn between Sergio Garcia, who I don't like for, you know, pretty obvious reasons, and then the hilarity of Tim once again coolering a major sporting event and losing it. And, you know, who do you think I rooted for?
You rooted for Sergio. You rooted against him. Look, Tim
Cooler. I rooted for the laugh.
Fuck you.
There you go. And there's Tim.
I think a better example of his coolering, though, is, you know, I mentioned there's all the Orioles, Nats ad nauseum texts that go back and forth between the five or six of us, Tim and I, Nats fans, the rest of you Orioles fans. And Tim has a tendency to think a game is in the bag before it really is. Case in point, bragging about the Nats being 3-0 as they're up 2-0 in the top of the eighth inning. He sends the text out, Nats 3-0, yawn, like this is easy. Literally, within 10 seconds, the Marlins hit a 2-run home run to tie it. I'm not exaggerating. Within 10 seconds. Of course, the Marlins come back to win. The following night, the Nats are up 7-0. He brags, in the bag. The Phillies go on to score the next 19 runs in the series. And, I mean, you can't make this shit up.
Well, the other thing is, we started saying something about the Nats game when the Phillies started coming back after being down 7-0. He goes, I'm watching the Wizards. And I mean, as soon as he said that, the Wizards end up losing the game. They were ahead. He says that. He'd come back, they beat the Wizards. Then the following day, I'm sorry, Sunday, I'm sitting at home watching the Orioles game. Orioles up 3-0, cruising. Who comes to visit me? Tim. Show announcer Tim walks in as soon as he does. The next 7 runs are scored by the Yankees. They end up losing.
And as soon as he gets to your house and watches the Oriole game, the Nats, who were down 3-0, come back and tie it. Once the Orioles game is over, he then turns his attention to the Nats game, who lose it in the ninth inning. I mean, it's unbelievable.
It is. Obviously, and then later on that day, Justin Rose loses the Masters in a playoff. Okay, yes. Yeah.
He has the worst instincts when it comes to sports and who's going to win and can no we, understanding the feel of a game.
Can we also say that Tim roots for all Washington sports teams and this city has not won a major... I mean, I don't count soccer, do you? I'm talking about the big four. Hockey, baseball, football, and basketball. Since the season of 1991, the Super Bowl was played in 1992, the last championship for Washington, D.C.
You motherfucker.
25 years ago, four teams. We have 100 opportunities to win one championship. No.
What if I were to tell you, if Tim died, then that curse would be reversed and DC would go on a New England Boston like run of, you know, the last 20 years, they've had literally all their teams win. The Red Sox, the Celtics, the Bruins, obviously the Patriots. That we would have a run, a 20 to 25 year, 6 to 10 championship victory. All four teams would get in. I know you don't care about the Nats, but I know the other three you do. So, but Tim dies, and that happens. Are you going to live with that?
Am I going to live with it?
I mean you're talking about a guy with no wife and no kids. I mean, he's just moving on.
So if the question is, would I love that silver lining to the death of my friend? Yes, I would.
Offensive on so many levels.
But if I had a choice to kill Tim and have that kind of championship success, I wouldn't kill Tim. I wouldn't. But I will say, if I'm responsible for somebody's murder, I can't. I'm not going to murder somebody. But there would be, and especially not Tim. I would never tell you, Tim, you're safe. But I would really enjoy those championships. I'd raise a glass to Tim and thank him for what he's done for me.
Yeah, Tim, I love you, but I'd pull the trigger. We need some victories.
I can't remember what I was going to say.
All right.
Ron, fuck you.
On that note, let's take a break. Rob and Joe should be right back.
Die Laughing Productions is back with another hilarious whodunit murder mystery comedy show from the people who brought you A Merry Murder Mystery and The Newly Dead Game comes back to the 80s. You're attending an event at Glenbrook North High in Chicago, Illinois, where the students, faculty, and alumni are gathering to open a time capsule that was planted exactly 30 years ago. But a still unsolved murder case will transport you back when gas was under $1 a gallon and cell phones were the size of a brick. Ferris Bueller, Marty McFly, and all things 80s murder mystery mashed up with me, Justin from 98 Rock, and the audience, you're going to be the star. Some of you will get to play parts in the show, and all of you will guess who the murderer is. Guess right, you could win something bitchin'. Guess wrong, and you'll be a butthead. Jean jackets and leg warmers are encouraged. Eat, drink, laugh, and solve a murder. Back to the 80s.
Next performance, April 13th at McGoobie's Joke House, Timonium. Tickets are on sale right now. For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
Now, back to the Rob and Joe Show.
Legendary death this past week. One Don Rickles. Is he the original roaster? Can we call him that?
Well, it wasn't that, but he was the first insult comic. Maybe you guys might know Robbie or Marcus. You might know a little history more than we do, but I think he was the first to do that style of comedy.
He wasn't the first to do that style of comedy, but he was the first to popularize it.
Yes. Well, that's what we mean. Now, Robbie, it seemed like a guy you would have been a big fan of.
Well, I think Joe will agree that he was very thin on material, even early on. But he had a presence on stage, and he had an ability to just kind of insult people off the cuff, and people loved him when he did it. But and his stand-up, if you couldn't watch his stand-up for an hour. Like an hour special of Don Rickles is too much. But when you saw him do a 10-minute or 7-minute sit-down on a talk show, yeah, he was phenomenal.
He was, but I heard his insults. And his insults were like, hey, blockhead, hey, hockey puck, why don't you go climb back in the cave you came from? I mean, I had never heard anything that I was like, God, that's really clever.
It's just the way the facial expressions. I mean, I can imagine that people would come up to him. They'd see him at the airport or in a restaurant and say, hey, can you just make fun of me? Can you call my wife fat? And then he would just, hey, look at that bitch you're married to. Thank you, Don. But that probably was his life, right?
Well, that is one thing that I will say I really love about comedy. I love it. And you know that I do. I like that you're allowed to say things to people that you could never say in any other, you know, walk of life. You right. Literally just get to sit there and start shitting on people. I remember when I did the Thanksgiving show with Justin, there was this big giant fucking roided up meathead, and he was sitting with this plastic blonde haired girl and I just started shitting on them. Are you kidding me? How terrified I'd be of those people in real life? Just walk up to somebody that looks like that and just start shitting on it. It was his wife. I literally just started shitting on her. And you're allowed to do that. How'd you like to be able to do that anytime? Oh, I'd love it. Now I'm envious of Don Rickles. I want to be the new Don Rickles. He's gone.
But he had great stories. And he really knew how to tell a story. And the fact that Bob Newhart has so much respect for him gives me have a little bit more respect.
Well, they were best friends, and I don't know if they had a great respect for his comedy. They were just friends.
How could he be his friend and not have respect for his comedy and a fellow comic?
What do you mean? I'm friends with Bird Knight. I'm friends with people whose comedy sucks. Everybody who you're friends with is a great comic.
The best story is, and I don't know how much of this is legend, how much is true, but, you know, he hung out with Frank Sinatra all the time. And Frank Sinatra was a well-known asshole. And one night they were all got together, some fancy get-together, and Frank said, nobody's drinking tonight. So everybody said, okay, Frank, nobody's drinking tonight. And, of course, Frank pulls out a flask. He's got, like, three flasks in his jacket, and he starts drinking, right? And he's just being ill-tempered and an asshole. And he's yelling at the waitstaff and everything. And at one point, Frank Sinatra gets so pissed, he literally picks up a bottle of ketchup. Oh, no, somebody, the waiter puts a bottle of ketchup in front of him. And he goes, God damn it, I didn't ask for ketchup. And he takes the ketchup and he throws it against the wall. And without missing a beat, Don Rickles said, hey, Frank, would you pass the ketchup?
Yeah, I heard that story. I heard another story of Frank Sinatra that I thought was funnier. You might have heard this already, Robbie, but Frank Sinatra was at the same restaurant as Don Rickles. And Don Rickles was he was on a date. He wasn't married at the time. And he walks over to Frank's table. And he goes, hey, listen, I'm on a date. The girl I'm with doesn't think that I know you. Do you mind just coming over and saying hi a little bit later? And he goes, yeah, no problem. So he sits back down. A few minutes later, Frank walks over and he goes, hey, Don, how you doing? He goes, hey, Frank, can't you see I'm eating here?
Who do you think in their day was the most prolific at getting women? I mean, Sinatra's got to be on the list, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course. Let me think, though. You're talking about, I mean, Dean Martin, too, right?
Yeah. I mean, Elvis?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, are the Beatles before?
Yeah, I mean, who's more of a contemporary? I mean, you know, Michael Jackson is too weird and Prince is, you know, also, you know, weird. Not that, you know, Prince didn't do well, but, you know, like if George Michael was straight, he would have done better, put it that way.
Yeah, you're right. But Prince is, he's legendary with his pursuit of women.
Yeah, but I don't think he was out there, like, just banging different chicks every night. He seemed more like he would have these, like, flings.
Yeah, but he would also then try to make them into an artist. Is that what he do?
Right.
You know, they're in Purple Rain, right?
Yeah. Sinatra didn't do that. Well, Elvis probably did that in all the stupid movies that he made.
What about JFK?
Yes. Yeah. Who recently? I mean, obviously you got the Brad Pitts of the world. People
well, no,
like that.
Leo. Leo is the one because he's been a bachelor most of the time. Yeah. So, you know, he's just killing it. But you know,
Derek Jeter.
Oh, you're right. Athletes.
I mean, Brady, if Brady could.
Yeah, you're right. Brady could. So could Bryce Harper, but they both got married.
Yeah. Mickey Coachella.
You do have Mickey Coachella. So yeah, in each sport in our lifetime, Jeter's number one in baseball, right?
Yes. I mean, we got Chamberlain. Will Chamberlain.
You're right. But also Steve Nash. Remember, he dated that. What's the model's name from she was in the first Austin Powers. What's her name? Didn't he date her?
I don't know. Probably. Yeah.
Obviously, Magic Johnson, clearly. He.
Well, being in L.A. helps. Being in L.A. or New York definitely helps your ability to pull that shit off.
Yeah, but when I think about, like, Mike Trout, I don't think about it. You know what I mean? I don't get that vibe like I do when I think of Jeter. Maybe because Jeter, what he would do is he would... Or even like Clayton Kershaw. And I don't know what's going on. Maybe they're married. I have no idea. But it's because it isn't because of the, it isn't the volume and it isn't even the caliber. It was the fame, you know, because Jeter had Mariah Carey, you know. There's a couple of huge names he had as well.
I mean, those, you know, Dwight Gooden and Daryl Strawberry, those Mets, they were super famous and they were in New York. But I mean, I think baseball of all the sports is the most, it sets up well for the guy that wants to play the field more. because you're in town long enough to find someone. You get three nights somewhere, as opposed to the NBA. You're more there than you're leaving. It seems more conducive than the NFL. You're obviously you're not there very long at all.
Football's got to be the hardest, right?
I would think. I did read an article on ESPN.com, I think, about there was a theory about why NBA teams are playing better on the road. The road record has improved for teams on the road. And one of the reasons that it's hard to play on the road is because you're not in your own bed. You're away from your wife, your kids. You're more likely to go out and drink and party and do the things that don't put you in the best of shape. But now with Tinder, as opposed to these NBA players or whatever sport going on the road and going to some nightclub and meeting some woman after drinking for a couple hours and then going back to the room, they're setting it up already. They just go on Tinder, NBA profile on my NBA player, my profile. They get off the plane, they meet me at the hotel, and boom. So they're more well-rested.
Don't you think that we would have seen, you know, Othello Harrington screenshotted? Don't you think we already see that? If that was the case, if Bradley Beal was on Tinder, don't you think we'd know?
I don't know. I've never looked men on Tinder up. I don't know.
No. I know you don't look men. I understand that, but you are on Facebook, right? You think that with today's social media that would just go under the radar? No way. If LeBron James had a Tinder profile, I guarantee you, you'd know about it.
Well, maybe they meet on Instagram and they're just direct messaging them or however that shit works.
Oh, no, I agree with that. So you're just saying because of the ease, you know, Craigslist back page, you can just, okay, that makes more sense. Tinder, you know, if you're on a dating site, somebody's going to out you. They are. I don't care who you are.
What are they outing you for? I mean, if you're single, nobody cares. Look, everyone thinks athletes are, even if they're married, are playing around. No one thinks they're faithful.
Yes, and I get that. But you don't think if Steph Curry had a Tinder profile, you wouldn't know about it? I guarantee you.
Yes, but Steph Curry is the exception. There's how many NBA players are there? You probably only can name 30, Joe. This is, you know, do you know the sixth man on the Denver Nuggets? No.
I don't know the first man. is Alex English still there on the team? Okay.
Yeah. But my point is, most of these guys, even for huge sports fans, you don't know. You don't know who these guys are. This is just some tall person.
When I had heard that before, I bought in, and now that I'm noodling it through, I don't believe it.
You don't believe it?
I just don't. The way that the world works now, if Greg Oden's cock is it's out, you see it. If there's a picture of Greg Oden's cock in the entire stratosphere, you see it.
But I don't know what you're. There's no story of
yes, insert, there is.
Listen. Insert Dallas Maverick players on Tinder. Who's
no,
that?
No.
Why would we know about that? Why would we care?
So I'm telling you right now that the fifth guy on the bench, you know, for the Orlando Magic, if that guy put out, if the sex tape came out, you'd know about it.
A sex tape, yes, but not.
I understand. By the way, sex tape. Sorry. Go ahead. Continue.
I already know what we're arguing about, but whatever.
No, but I'm telling you, I've changed my mind. I flip flopped. I don't believe that has anything to do with it, because I think that they have to have a method where they're protected. They do. You can't just, you know, I guarantee you, I don't want to exaggerate. There is a huge number of people in the NBA that when they have sex with a girl, they ever sign something first. I guarantee it.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
You think you can just bang Leonardo DiCaprio? You can't.
How many different women do you think the fifth guy on the Dallas Mavericks, single guy, let's say that he's it's easy. He's not cheating. He doesn't have to sneak around. How many different women in a season do you think he's getting on?
As many as he wants.
But is it like, I mean, if they're in, I mean, there's 82 games, so there's 40 on the road. He's probably have a couple at home. For every road spot, I mean, is it over 100? There's probably a couple, two or three in one nights.
If you've got the stamina, if you've got the time, you can have three a night.
Man, Robbie, all of a sudden it's a sports conversation Robbie's interested in.
Sorry, Captain Cupcake. We mentioned
sports.
Oh,
now you have no problem. We talk about sports all show. No, I mean, here's the deal. If you are Brady Anderson, right? Do you remember Brady Anderson? He was the best looking guy in baseball. He could literally leave the game and walk in any bar, you know, in Baltimore, every girl knew who he was. In a lot of the cities, they did. Now, what you wanted to do if you were Rene Gonzalez, right? If you were a utility infielder on that same team, you need to hang out with Brady Anderson.
Sure.
Because then when people say, oh, my God, there's Brady Anderson, you go, oh, well, this guy is also a professional baseball player. But you understand if Derek Jeter isn't with you and you're the, you know, and you're the long reliever, you're not just banging chicks three at a time. That doesn't happen. If they're going to star fuck you, they got to know you're a star.
I don't know, Joe. I mean, guys, just regular guys that are good looking go to clubs and get laid out all the time. And they're not even rich. I mean, you're talking about a millionaire, good looking. All he has to do is just say he's the reliever for the Detroit Tigers.
That's your opening line. Hey, I play for, and you're in.
Yeah, I don't think now the fame, obviously, that's going to help. But I think just throwing money around and being and good looking and dressed nice. And, you know, you got your $2,000 watch on. The women are just going to come towards you.
Katie just sent me a picture of a girl who took a picture of Ezekiel Elliott sleeping beside her. Just posted. I just sent it to me.
There you go. Did she wish Sergio? Did she tell him congratulations?
I definitely noticed her rooting for Sergio. Like she could have rooted for the other guy. And by the way, our friend, former landlord Phil, he did a FanDuel and it Justin Rose losing cost him $500.
Yeah.
So meaning, you know, she was rooting against not only Justin Rose but her friend's $500, and she's rooted for Sergio. It was uncomfortable for me when I watched that happen.
Sergio is obviously the most famous, successful, and accomplished person that Katie has had sex with, but are you second?
I got to imagine I'm more, let's say, for example, that she might have hooked up with an Arena League football player. I don't know that happened or not, but I got to be number two, I would imagine.
I would think, yes. You have to be number two.
Let me ask you this. I you know, without exaggeration, I've probably been recognized, I don't know, 15 to 20 times since Katie and I have been dating. Mm-hmm. And I'm dead serious. Marcus, how many Vermont Bucks do you think would get noticed if they were walking through a mall?
All of them.
What?
All of them. They are black. No. This is a white state.
Well, that's okay.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
Yeah. So they just have to be. Oh, what are those? Oh, they must play on that team that I never heard of.
They think every black person is an athlete in that town.
They can't be personal trainers. Okay.
Every time a black person went to Utah, they thought it was Karl Malone, regardless of height, age.
They can't just think that the black guy's in shape. He has to be a professional athlete.
Just a regular black guy looks like a professional athlete in Vermont.
All right. Let's take a break. We'll come back. And Joe, you have a fish situation. Rob and Joshua, be right back.
Hey, Katie.
Hello, my name is Rob Robinson, but you all know me as Gramps. If it weren't for me, there would be no Rob and Joe show. If it weren't for my DNA, you'd be listening to the Rob and Ramin show. Or worse, if I decided to stop at one offspring, you'd probably be listening to the Dan Ninen show. So I'm speaking to you as someone who has provided you with top-notch entertainment for over half a decade. Become a Rob and Joe Show patron on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/Rob and Joe Show. Do it now so you don't miss out on the premium content and some other great stuff. I did it. So should you. Now back to the Rob and Joe Show.
So you got Katie the aquarium, the fish tank for whatever it was, her birthday or whatever. And I saw it a couple of weeks ago. There was no fish in it, but now there are fish in it, correct?
Dude, it's a goddamn nightmare is what it is. So here's what happened. So we got six tetras. Are you familiar with a tetra? Very small fish. No, cool. They have like a They have like a blue and red stripe on them, very small. And basically you just put in there to see if they can acclimate. And once they do, you add other fish, blah, blah, blah. By the way, one more thing. We shop at the House of Tropicals, okay? Now, are you familiar with a, with what a betta fish is?
I know I've heard that term, but...
Yeah, they're... And Robbie, Marcus, you guys know what they are. They some people call them Siamese fighting fish, but they come in these different, very bright colors, and you can win them at the fair. It's not a goldfish. It's a betta. Anyway, so we go to this place, House of Tropics, and they're experts running around, and they're calling them bettas. Just so fucking annoying, right? It's not a betta, okay? You change the name. Why? Because you're a know-it-all. Call it a betta like everybody else. It's just like when my dad, he refuses to say gyro. And granted, I know it's not a gyro. I know it's not. I know it's not a gyro. But just say gyro. Just say gyro, okay? Just say it. Say gyro, and they'll hand you the same thing that you would have gotten with whatever it is that you're saying. It's just like when I heard this girl say betta. It's so fucking annoying. Say betta, say gyro. Anyway, so we get these six. You know, you don't want six tiny fish in this giant tank. So we then go and we buy another six and then another six. Now we have 18. Okay. Okay. And then they get acclimated. And so we get then three of the suckers that go on the side and two angelfish. Now we got 23 fish in there. And they got in there pretty quickly. And I'm like, you know, we really need to give it some time to make sure that all these fish are okay in this environment. Well, no. Boom. One of them is pregnant. There are now 23 extra little fish floating around. Now, 23 is what we have now. Who knows? A lot of them could have been eaten. I have no idea. The other thing is these fish have live births. That's weird to me, but that's a whole other story. I always thought fish laid eggs, whatever. Anyway, so now we have all these little fish, but we have to take them out. And by the way, do you know how small a baby...
What do you mean you got to take them out? To do what?
So the other fish don't eat them.
If you leave them in there, the other fish will eat them.
So what?
So, well, no, I understand that. Yes, so what? But, I mean, that's not the attitude of
what do you do with them? Put them in a bowl?
Yes, they're in a separate tank. We have them in a separate... In order to save the lives of these fish, I didn't fucking want in the first place. So, of course, guess how many of the 23, guess how many have died?
I don't know, six?
Zero. So that means eventually when they get big enough, and that's, they said, in about 2 to 3 weeks, we are going to pour these 23 in with the other 20. Did I do that right? 18 plus. There's 23 plus 23. Okay, so there's going to be 46 fish. I don't even know how many fish it's reasonable to have in a tank. It's a 50-gallon tank.
Are you going to invest in another tank?
That's what I'm saying. We might have to get a second tank or be... That was inhumane, the correct word?
You're going to have to buy a house just to deal with your betta fish.
My dad is correcting me in chat. It's pronounced gyro by people who speak Greek. Yes, I understand that. But unfortunately, Gramps, the only word you know in Greek is gyro, or whatever the fuck you call it. So
gyro.
Whatever you call it.
It's a fucking gyro.
It's a gyro. The people that, if you say, hey, what do you call it? The guy that works there is going to call it a gyro, okay? That's what they're going to call it. I wonder if they hear my dad just struggling to say this one word in Greek to try to, I guess, say it properly. Do you think they appreciate it, or do they think, like, okay, dude, we've already heard gyro just, 50 times. Yeah. Can you just say gyro?
Why don't you name one of the fish gyro?
By the way, I do love a gyro. I'm not going to lie, man. Gyros are
so
delicious.
Good. Oh, yeah, God, I haven't had one in a long time. I'm going to get one this week just because of that.
I might walk right over to next door and get myself a gyro, and I'm going to order it just like that right after the show.
Oh, good for you, bud. How much are you, like, how many hours a day are you spent, like, taking care of these fish and feeding them and taking them out and putting them in new bowls of water? I mean, it seems like this has become a job.
Yeah, hey, real quick, what if you order a gyro and they're like, we don't know what you're talking about? What's a gyro? And you can't get your sandwich. Anyway,
I'll say fuck you. I'm not getting it then. I want a gyro.
So here's the thing. I believe that Katie is going to do the majority of the taking care of. Mainly because she feeds them, not because I think it's her job. She's kind of a control freak, so I think that she wants to feed them. I'm pretty sure she does.
Right.
I mean, I'd be more than happy to feed them, but I do think she likes that. Or likes to do that. Now, cleaning it, I'll do, but that's going to be a fucking chore. So I would like to you know, put as much space in between. Now, we have a kick-ass filter. This thing is, it's still clear. It's super clear. It's far away from needing to be cleaned. And on top of that, we have those suckerfish. One of them is named Gyro, by the way. But we have them, and they clean the tank. So we've done a lot of stuff to not have to do a lot of work. And they're beautiful. So I don't consider, like, looking at them. That's not investing time in them. That's a chore. That's, you know, it's just like, how often do you look at a piece of art that you bought for your wall? Probably never. So
no, I've never bought a piece of art for my wall. So, well, if you slack and somehow, you know, let some of these fish die, are you going to be in trouble? Is Katie going to be angry?
No, because the responsibility of the life of the fish is Katie's.
Yeah, but if she's gone or something, she's...
No. She's gone and I killed the fish. I think her level of care, with one being not caring at all and 10 being upset like as a family member, I mean, it's not even... I don't even know if it hits a 3 if I kill one of the fish.
You think Sergio Garcia would let any fish die?
Sergio Garcia probably have a bigger tank, is my guess, and more expensive fish. Matter of fact, when we go to buy our fish, there's fish in there. Our fish are like $4. And there's fish in there like $150. They don't.
Are you
going to
be
live.
On an episode? Are you going to be on Tanked, that show, Joe?
Have you watched that show, Tanked?
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
I mean, you talk about unwatchable. They throw in, first of all, the show is.
I used to like it. Then it got ridiculous.
You're building a fish tank. That's it for someone who's rich. That's the idea. By the way, I just saw one where they built a fish tank in the Annapolis Mall. Did you ever see that?
You know what? I heard about that. Yeah, that sounds cool. I always wonder how much they make. That's all I want to know is how much did this cost? And they never tell you that.
Yeah, they don't tell you the one thing, right? The one thing, because I know it's going to be beautiful at the end, and I already know what great fish look like.
Because on the treehouse, you ever watch the treehouse one? Because they tell you the budget.
Oh, how much is it?
It's usually like, you know, it starts at like $50,000 or something.
Jeez. But those guys, they fake a story in the show. Like, oh, I'm mad at this guy because he did X. And now running through them building this fish tank, which is really all I want to see. It's almost like you're watching Chopped and two of the judges are fucking fighting about, you know, it's so dumb.
It is stupid.
I watched one. The one guy's sick. The other guy's trying to see if he's sick because he's trying to get out of work. They happen to be building a fish tank for a doctor's office. The people that work in the office where the tank is are checking this guy out. I'm like, build a goddamn tank and let me see it. It should be a 10-minute show. I don't need to.
Robbie, you're the reality show expert. Do you love that or does that annoy you?
I've never watched an episode of Tanked. I've never been interested in an episode of Tanked. And that treehouse show is, it looks cool, but why is it on Animal Planet? I don't understand.
I don't know, but that doesn't bother me. I've never like turned on something. This is awesome, but why is it on
the wrong channel?
I'm going to turn it off.
And I also don't enjoy fish. So
Robbie thinks if Breaking Bad was on ESPN, it would suck.
What does that mean? You don't enjoy fish. What does that mean?
Fuck you, fish.
I don't. As pets, as things to look at, I don't care.
You're telling me you look at a fish tank with all those fish, different colors. You're like, nah, I'm good.
No. If I go into sometimes you go into a restaurant, and they have a beautiful fish tank. I like, oh, cool. I'll look at it for like 2 seconds. I don't want one in my house. I don't want fish as pets. They're not good pets. They don't cuddle. They die quickly. Who needs that?
Yeah, you said they don't cuddle. Only two animals do. Every other animal sucks.
Well, that's right. I have the two that are lovable.
Right, Robbie likes to cuddle. He cuddles his pets and he fucks his woman.
He also
likes
dog
to and cat. They climb in my lap. That's nice. I don't want to look at stupid fish.
He also likes to take his dog to a restaurant and then blame the restaurant for kicking him out.
What if Joe
that
brought
same
a
restaurant? Roll? We walked by that same restaurant this weekend, and some person had a dog in there. I was so annoyed.
What? Hold on. Wait a minute. You were in a restaurant with a dog.
No.
And they kicked you out, and then somebody else was in there with a dog in the same restaurant.
Yes.
Where you live that everybody's taking their dog inside of a restaurant? I've never seen a dog in a restaurant that wasn't a seeing eye dog in my entire life.
Rob, have you ever been to Shirlington? Rob, have you ever been to Shirlington?
I have, but I not enough to know what the dog scene is like.
It's a little town. It's a little town in Arlington where they have all these little strip with little stores and stuff. It's very nice, and a lot of people bring their dogs.
Did you say something? Yes. Did you say, "Hey, how come that guy got to bring his dog?"
Yeah. Well, I, in passing, I said something to my girlfriend. I pointed it out to her. I was like, "What is this? They made us move our dog outside. What's going on?"
Because Robbie, this sounds like a Kirby Enthusiasm episode.
It is.
Larry brings his dog. He gets kicked out. He shows up the next week. Ted Danson's there with his dog, and Larry raises a stink.
Well, I wouldn't have gone in there and raised a stink because I'm happy to have
really?
Those people enjoying their dog being.
Yeah.
Yeah, Robbie, you're the exact kind of person that would raise a stink. You remind me of the guy that got dragged off the United flight recently.
The only result is I wouldn't even say something next time I go in there. I like the restaurant, and I don't want to have those people get their dog kicked out, so I'm not going to say anything.
Okay, how many different people do you have to see in there with a dog before you're like, hey, this is fucked up? What if it's the same breed as yours, too?
It's the same name.
I'm not going to say anything.
And it's a white guy with an Asian girlfriend.
It's one of our favorite restaurants. I'm never going to say anything.
Wow, you love the food that much.
Yeah, it's really good. You went there with us, Rob. It's at Guapo's.
No, I did. It was good, but you know, what if Joe brings a little fish tank in with his fish in, with his bettas in?
I'll be like, fuck
and
those.
And I cuddle
fish.
It. I cuddle him.
Just put it right in the front, right on the table, the center. You mentioned the United thing. It almost makes you wonder. I mean, by the time you hear this, everyone's going to know what we're talking about. So I'm not going to set it up. I guess I should, but you know, whatever. You're smart people. It almost feels like if you're like American or Delta, like you just pay like someone that works for United to do that. And then he's going to get fired, but then you just give him $100,000 because it's going to help your business.
And I mean this, if you're Southwest, let me just put it a different way. You see a Southwest commercial and it is a parody of them refusing to drag somebody off a plane. And they start making fun of the other airline for what they did. Would that be something that you would view as positive or something that you would view as like, yeah, me too. That would be hysterical if they started. Yes. I remember when the station, the Jack started and they, and you know what the Jack is? They just play. It's basically like your iPod. It just shuffles songs. It plays, you know, Elton John 1 minute and, you know, Biggie Smalls the next minute, just whatever comes up next. It plays.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
And they started shitting on Mickey Coachella. They had an ad going, hey, it's me on 98 Talks. They're literally making fun of the other station, and they're making fun of Mickey. And I have no idea how that was received. And I didn't like it because, of course, it was a station that I worked for, and it was a friend of mine. But it was pretty fucking hilarious.
The ad they should do is people being dragged onto United Flight saying, no, I don't want to go on this horrible airline. That's the fun fact.
Well, I don't think they're allowed to actually put their competitor, are they? Are they allowed to do that? When they did the Pepsi Challenge, was it Coke? Did they say Coke? Yeah, I guess they could do like a parody, but it's not really parody. It's advertising.
They could just say, great. No, we're a United Front. We're going to stay, you know, or something.
You do have to be very careful when you actually name your competitor by name.
Well, is it different rules for like the internet? Can you just have like a YouTube viral thing? Or
are we allowed to shit on the Quality Time podcast, our biggest competitor?
Yeah, we can do that just as long as we don't say anything slanderous.
Libel is still libel.
So if I say Eric Woodworth is thin and makes good decisions, is that slander?
Are we going to have Eric Woodworth's brother, Jeremy, at the live show dressed in his clown makeup, his evil clown?
Wow, then he's still there when the mics are off. So
yeah,
if we have him there, we don't acknowledge it. We just have him sitting in the audience, never mentioned.
Nobody says a word. He's just sitting over there, terrifying. Hey, let me ask you a question. Seriously, instead of the new It, have you seen the trailer for the new It?
Terrifying. Yes.
Okay, so instead of Pennywise, what they're using as that image, it's just the Jeremy Woodworth clown. It's almost as scary, right? I mean, where is it down from what you see in that trailer? I mean, if that's a 9, Jeremy's a 10, an 8, right? He's not a
I think so.
He's not Ronald McDonald. You're not looking at that and saying, well, that's adorable.
Well, even, I think we've had this debate before, but if you wake up in the middle of the night and next to you is any clown, it's terrifying.
Yeah, there's no, hey, we did, because I think I told you this, my father, when I was a little kid, I was a scared little kid anyway, Robbie and I used to sleep in the attic of our house in Chevrolet. Robbie, do you remember what there was a poster of on the wall? Did we talk about this on the show?
Emmett Kelly.
Yeah, a clown. And it wasn't a clown like Bozo. It wasn't a clown like Ron McDonald. It was this terrifying, sad, Pagliacci. Is that the right thing? I mean, it was a scary ass clown. And I wasn't, 15, 16. I was like 4 years old. Stop. Stop playing that. Stop playing that.
No, I never read the book, It, but I'm tempted to read it because it just sounds like an amazingly terrifying.
It's not one of his better books, and it's rather long.
Well, I love my long books.
So. Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not reading a book. Scott Apple gave me books on tape for Christmas, and I told him to go fuck himself.
Pretty much. Maybe we'll do a live reading of one of those at the live show. All right. I guess we're wrapping this thing up. Hey, we're doing a live show. Bonus show. We're recording one next week. So that'll be coming at you. The Patreon is growing. We appreciate that. It's getting a little bit bigger every week. Thank you to all our patrons. New bonus show. I guess, 10 to 2 weeks it'll be up, right, Robbie? That's about right.
I'm hoping for sometime next week.
Okay. Well, that's right. We're doing it. We're recording it Friday. So, all right, that's fair.
Hey, but
there won't be a live show next Monday, but we're also going to record that show on Friday.
Yes, we are, because Joe, once again, is heading out of town and didn't tell us.
I did tell you. I gave you 2 weeks notice. But, Okay. Hey, can you guys, for the bonus show, pull clips of the band Sunno? But I got to tell you how to spell it so you'll know what you're looking
for. No, I know. I already got it on the list. Don't worry.
Okay. I need some clips.
All right. And you've hinted at us, Robbie, that there is some going to be some mother-in-law staying with you talk on the bonus show.
Yes, possibly.
Okay. I am curious because she's at your house now, correct?
Yeah, she's been here a couple weeks now.
Okay, let's just say, is it going better or worse than you thought?
Better.
Okay. That didn't sound sincere. By the way, what's he gonna say?
Okay,
it's not exactly what I expected.
What percentage?
She's Caucasian.
She says gyro. is how much is it cramping your lovemaking? Is it down? What percentage?
It's non-existent.
Oh. Well, that's the big difference. How long could that last before you murder someone? You would murder those dogs at that Mexican restaurant.
Are you guys in the same room?
Of course.
Okay. Then in that case, you can't sneak one in? I mean, well, come on, seriously?
Well, again, I'll tell you all about this on the bonus show.
And Joe, Robbie's the world's greatest lover. I mean, when a woman has sex with him, she's very loud. I mean, you can't hide this.
Good point. Plus, that mixtape's going to be playing.
Yeah.
She's going to be asking about these songs she keeps hearing all night.
Hey, why do I keep... How come all these Hall & Oates songs are playing?
I heard a live concert from Hall & Oates playing.
Why does it sound like Rob and Joe are shitting on the couple in front of them?
So I do have a question real quick about Hall & Oates. So going back, Robbie and his girlfriend, me and Katie, you and Tawanda, and Katie's parents, we all went to see Hall & Oates.
Yeah.
And Robbie's girlfriend videotaped the entire concert on her phone. Yeah. And then I said to Robbie, I go, that was crazy. When's she ever going to watch those? And Robbie said she watched them on the way home, which I think is hilarious. But that's go back about a year, and you'll find that on the Rob and Joe show. But has she watched it since? Have you seen her watching it again, Robbie?
I think I did see her watch it very shortly after the show again, but I haven't seen her watch it since about a week or two after that.
Has she deleted?
Yeah, is it on her phone?
That's a good question. I will ask her and we'll and remind me to tell you.
Can you forward it to me if it's still on her phone?
Okay, sure.
Can you? I want to just edit down to the best parts. That's what I want. Did she have trombone shorties set? I want to see those two people dancing.
No, she didn't record them. Come on.
She recorded the car ride there too, so get the whole experience.
Hey, Joe, can we look in your phone, your calendar right now? Do you have anything else you want to tell us about shows you know you can't do?
No, I'm good. Hey, I'm going to be on 98 Rock. Actually, never mind. This show will come out on Wednesday, and I will have been on, so there you go.
Come
to Murder the Murder Mystery.
Yeah, Magoobie's Joke House this Thursday night, back to the 80s. You know, you might see on Eric Woodworth, you might see everything. So, you know, tread lightly. But 8 p.m. Magoobies.com or dietlaughingproductions.com. You'll be on to promote on 98 Rock.
I'm doing 80s trivia on there and I'm giving away tickets.
Are you competing? Or are you just going to come up with the questions?
Please. If I competed, then nobody wouldn't take, who's going to beat me? Nobody. So we have, Robbie be tough. Robbie and I here's the thing. I know a lot of the stuff that Robbie knows, but I know sports and Robbie doesn't know it.
You're a good team.
We're a real good team, but I mean, even 80s movies, Robbie's not going to destroy me in that. I'm going to know a lot of that. Cause most of 80s trivia is going to be about the teen stuff, the John Hughes stuff. And that's, I probably know more about that than Robbie does.
Robbie, what do you think?
I don't know. Maybe we need to have a competition.
Ooh, all right.
Yeah, but you understand that you understand my point, Robbie. You're going to know nothing about sports. There's nothing there's nothing that would be in an 80s trivia competition that I know nothing about.
No, if you ask me 20 80s sports question, I might get one.
Well, that's my point. My point is there's going to be nothing that I'm going to have no knowledge of.
Yeah, maybe not.
Yeah, I favor Robbie because I know he'll cheat, and that
helps. Oh yeah, you're right. If we're not in the same room, he'll be Googling. He'll have a team of people. Yeah, you're right about that.
Yeah, you got no shot. Good show, everybody. We'll see you next week. Hopefully, we'll see you at the Murder Mystery. But again, no live show next week. But it'll be out sooner because we're recording it sooner, and the bonus show. So get on Patreon, give us your money. You'll hear the new bonus show and the previous one. So get on that. See you next week.
Later.
Michael Mara, Radio Entertainment.